Okay. Today is the 24th August, 2017. Thursday class, which is held at Brother Teo and Sister Padmasri's house. Now we get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, then the virya, spiritual zeal. Then mindfully we shall commence the recitation. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Mi Lo Phật. Namo Mi Lo Phật. Namo Mi Lo Phật. Namo Phổ Bồ Tát. Namo Phổ Bồ Tát. Namo Phổ Bồ Tát. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated and turn to page one of our chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Ramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Vada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surame Raya Majapama Dathana Padang Samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna Sarpa Dithena Dipena Tamadang Sena Diloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonodang Vanda Sambara Yutena Dopena Hang Sugang Hina Pujayaye pujaniyang tang Puja baca namo temang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kesuma santatin Pujayami monindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi budang kesumena nena Punnena ca Otu mokang Tiyata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions for illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas. Sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple jab. Badang pujemi. Damang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we will off the light and you can have half an hour of meditation. Okay. for those already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed. For those who need to train their mind, you can go ahead. Then finally, just stabilize the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. Then use it to cultivate or develop the meditation. I will ring the bell after about 30 minutes. Okay. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Trying to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then use this trained mind state that is already mindful to cultivate the daily mindfulness, especially the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. Okay, turn to page 6 of the chanting book. Then we will chant the invocation to the Devas. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the dainties or Devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantaha chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Tepeso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusamang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakineyo, anjali karaniyo, anutarang punyaketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. do Kailas pay respect to Trupajam? Badang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Then maintain some point attention. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is reporting of meditation, followed by whatever question that you all may have. You can report on your meditation and ask whatever question related to meditation or the teaching. And also lastly, how to apply what we have learned here to help you understand life and overcome all of your problems of life. Okay, now we open up. Those who want to ask any question or report meditation, you just have to raise your hand. Then we will pass you the mic. Anybody? Pass the mic to her. She's laughing. Oh, okay. Okay, I help you to speak out your question. Why is your breathing shorter and shorter? So we should congratulate you. That is good news. When your breathing becomes shorter and shorter, means your mind is quieter and quieter. Then finally, there is no more, like no more breathing, like you don't breathe. So don't panic during that time. You will not die. The only thing is your mind has become so quiet, so subtle. Then it enters the stage of subtle breathing, they call it. And this is actually the internal breathing. Internal breathing means you no longer breathe outside. You breathe with mindfulness internally. The breath like very short. But you continue to relax into it and just silent. Then the breath will come back to you. You will be able to feel even the very subtle or short breathing. It will come back to you. And when it comes back to you, means your mind has entered sati. That is the meditative mind. That is the silent mind. And that mind can let you understand many, many things. So just relax into it and continue to let it be. The more quiet, the better. Until no more breathing, then you just stay at the breathing. Then later on, this mind become very different. The mindfulness become more refined. You will experience a type of mindfulness that is much, much more refined than the usual mindfulness. During that time, wherever you locate this mind, it become very sensitive. This mind that is in sati can detect all the movement, vibration, even though very subtle, no movement. It will like come back to you. But all these minor subtle movement, they are like magnified when your mind is in sati. Then you can feel them. Then later on, if you move it down to your heart or chest area, just silent and relax, then you can detect the vibration of whatever movement within your heartbeat, especially your heartbeat, the pulse of life. Then later on, even this heartbeat also become very quiet, very subtle, like no more movement. Then you just stay silent without any activity or movement. That is the training of the mind to enter the natural state of pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. So it's a good news. So just let it be. Don't worry, don't panic. No, yeah, the more subtle we become, the better it is, because it starts to develop into sati, silent. And the mind that is silent is the meditative mind. So a lot of people fail to understand, even your object of meditation can be anything. Atonement, rising, falling, or what is the same, finally it becomes very subtle, like little or no movement at all. Then they go and panic. They scared they will die, no more breathing. And sometimes they will ask the monk say, okay, now you must do sitting, touching. You go and verbalize again, go and create thought again to stir that mind which is already more or less going to be quiet, which you have trained very well. So a lot of people who have not developed the understanding, they fail to teach you from that point onward. Then they tell you to do the standard thing that they learn from the books or the text, or through hearing from other people who teach them. So this is why they cannot penetrate the Dhamma, they cannot develop the true understanding of what sati is. So no need to worry, just relax into it, silent. The fourth support for meditation, always remember, is on the is on these notes, the fourth support for meditation. First support is just relax into every mind state that arises, whatever it is, just relax into it and silent. Whatever mind state, whether energy build up or whatever. Then if there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, just relax into it. Make sure it's soothingly relaxed. Then when you relax, the awareness will come back to you. Sati will come back to you. Then maintain silence. When you don't think, the awareness will be there. Because sati is awareness before the thinking. Before the arising of thought, it's just aware, silent inside. So maintain silent is very important. So the second support is just to be in the state of awareness. Means just aware, no need to do anything. But initially, most people cannot develop the ability to be aware because they think a lot. They have a lot of mental hindrance. The reason being, they lack the five spiritual faculty, the top one. If you don't have this spiritual faculty, your mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance, which is the pancha nivarana, they will be very, very strong and they will keep on arising. That's why you will have the sensual desire and ill will, leading to restlessness of mind, then doubt. So this restlessness of mind comes from your lack of spiritual faculty. And most people have this restlessness because they got fear, they got worry, they got anxiety, they got remorse, they got sorrow and lamentation. They hold on to a lot of things. And they call this their problem because they can't understand. They perceive all those life situations with fear, the realities of life as expounded by the Buddha, the First Noble Truth Reality, the Eight Conditions. When you perceive it with fear, worry, anxiety without understanding, then the mind becomes restless. It worries. So this is how mental hindrance arise. So these are the mind state that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot meditate. So when this one keep on arising, your mind cannot be peaceful, it cannot be silent, it think a lot. Well, all these are agitated mind state, or they call it the mental hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Can you understand? This is very important. So the only way to overcome this is to develop the opposite five spiritual faculty. But before your spiritual faculty is stabilized, you still want to meditate, then you have to develop some skillful means to decondition your heedless thinking so that all this mental hindrance can be like temporarily do away with. That's why decondition that heedless thinking means you try to use some skillful means to overcome the mental hindrance. And the best way is the mind sweeping method, where you just feel and relax, you don't think. So when you feel and relax, you decondition the heedless thinking, you are no more thinking. So when you continue to feel and relax, it will help you to decondition the heedless thinking that you have been doing all day long. Then when you don't think, your mind develop calmness, peacefulness. That's why without thought, sati will be there. Then especially when your faith is very strong, your mind become very composed, very calm because of that faith. Faith can help you to overcome restlessness of mind, doubt. So when you have faith, you don't have doubt, you don't have restlessness. Your mind become very composed, very calm. Then when you come to understand who the Buddha is and how special his teaching is, you will develop the spiritual zeal, which is a spiritual tenacity and energy within to drive you along, to cultivate, where you see the importance of his teaching. It can lead you to enlightenment in the here and the now. It can free your mind, liberate your mind, bring about understanding, wisdom, leading to enlightenment. And this is what meditation is all about, finally realizing the enlightenment. So with sadha, virya, it will bring forth the meditation. And this meditation will allow you to train your mind to be mindful, to be aware. Then you stabilize it. That's how the third spiritual faculty come about. Then when you stabilize the sati, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi. Then with sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. The samadhi is a very stable mind, a free mind that is very calm, very stable. This one is called the collected and unwavering mind. This mind has become very different. But it is very collected and is unwavering. At the moment of sense experience, when you hear something, see something, smell something, tactile, feel something, or taste something, or you arise your thought process, your mind is in the state of samadhi. It will not be like stir or waver. It will become collected. And because of that, you can see things as they are, not according to your thought, not according to your views, opinion, and conditioning. When your mind stir and react, means you act according to your memory, which has all the views, opinion, conditioning. So this is how acting according to memory is not acting at all, because your memory is full of your experiences of life, good and bad, all you accumulate inside. And also, because of that, the Mahayana, they come to understand the cause of suffering is accumulation. Your accumulation is attachment, craving, clinging, grasping. You don't attach, you don't put in your memory, you don't go accumulate them. So things that you give attention to, you give meaning to, like your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia, your scars of memory, your insecurity, your sorrow and lamentation, your unhappiness. So all this you accumulate and store in your brain. And these are all wrong thoughts. That's how it conditions your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. especially the scars of memory. So this part is maybe for you all to develop the understanding. So no need to worry about your breath becoming shorter and shorter, which is a good news. A lot of people don't understand. Anything else? When it becomes shorter, what do? You try to pull the breath. That's why I don't do that. Let it be. Because when you try to pull, it becomes unnatural. The thought come in. The thought want to do meditation. The thought says, this is not right. Last time I can do the anapanasati, the breathing, and it become very calm, very peaceful. Now I cannot. Yeah? The breath has become very short, subtle. It's because you have progressed and you don't know. That's why if nobody can teach you and tell you all this, you will get yourself entangled again. Then you get lost and do all those funny things. Okay? Anybody else? Any more meditation reporting or question? You don't have. I got this question from Christina. He sent me a video link. I think it's spoken in Mandarin. Must be by a Mahayana monk or what. Is it a Mahayana monk? Yeah?
Not very sure.
Oh. Use the... Where is the cordless mic? Yeah.
Good evening, Brother.
Yeah.
Actually, this recording was sent by a friend from Theravada
tradition.
Asking me to explain.
Because
she cannot understand Mandarin.
Oh, okay.
So I say I will try to ask my teacher and see.
Mm-hmm.
But I say I got no promise. I'm not sure also this teaching whether it's the real Buddha's teaching or not. I ask my teacher.
It's the real Buddha's teaching.
So
because this one belongs to Mahayana, where it talk about repentant, asking for forgiveness. It's actually in the Mahayana teaching and widely cultivated and expanded. But Theravada teaching, they don't know that it exists. Because they only know what they chant. Kayena vacca cittena. You remember the Theravada chanting? Asking for forgiveness from the triple gem, and especially from the monks. That's why kayena vacca cittena pamadana maya katang acayang kama me bante puri panya tata ngate, or I don't know what, I forgot it. So I will try to let you listen to this particular recording, then you understand. He quoted the Pali word. Then you look at the whiteboard, the mental hindrance, the fourth mental hindrance, udaka kukucha. It comes from that word. Udaka is restlessness of mind. Kukucha is worry, remorse, unhappiness, negativity of mind state. So your restlessness comes from all this mind state that condition you to worry, to have fear, worry, anxiety, and all those things. Okay, I play the thing. I have to on the volume, otherwise it's too soft.
今天师父要跟大家讨论的讲解的是这个忏悔，到底忏悔是怎么一回事？ 在佛教里面，我们常常都说我们要忏悔。如果是业障深重，更加要忏悔。那到底忏悔是怎么起作用的？是否我们真的去天天去忏悔，我们的业障就会消除？根据佛陀原始的教法，忏悔它是一种智慧的显现。当你知道这个是错的， 你已经认清啊，这是过去的，这个是错，那我不要再犯这个错，这是忏悔。认清一个过失，知道那个是错，啊，不要重复，这是忏悔。就是我们在心里面呢，跟我们自以往所犯的错画了一个界限，啊，告诉自己我不认可它，我要改变了，要换我生命的模式的，那是忏悔。大家很小心，当我们在做忏悔的时候，千万千万不要掉进懊悔。怎么说呢？如果我们不懂得忏悔，我们是懊悔啊，在那边伤心啊、苦啊，一直在想着自己的过失，一想一难过，这种我们叫做巴利文叫做咕咕加，叫做恶作，咕咕加恶作，就是已经是懊悔了。其实懊悔它也是一种负面的心，它是属于我们归纳成嗔心主的一种心的状态。就是那个心一直在那边，越忏悔越是黏着那个故事不放，让那个不对的事情让心里带来很多的伤感很难过，这是不对的。在这个时候我们应该怎么办？我们应该想，错谁没有错，这个世界无始以来，如果我们真的要计较错误，算也算不完。所以我们对自己的错、别人的错也不要时时抓在心里，知道是错，我们应该很高兴，我终于看到我的错了，我看到错了，我就是有希望，而且我有勇气认错，然后我绝对从这个错跳出来，那就对了。可是恶作懊悔它不是，恶作懊悔是你在那边啊，一直在想着自己的过失，一直在贬低自己，让他自己好像仿佛看不到希望，然后就在那边难过伤心。要知道伤心难过也是苦因，带来的结果也是苦的，虽然它不是直接的很明显的伤害到别人，但是很明显的最直接的去伤害的，先伤害到自己啊，当然伤害到自己也会对周围肯定是不好的影响，但是他肯定伤害到自己，所以他也是恶意来的啊。那我们忏悔呢，难道这样子他就没有作用了吗？或者他我们的恶业就不能够面对了吗？就是说一定要受很大的苦吗？那不是的。如果呢我们忏悔它有很大的作用，就是因为很多人受苦呢，我们看很多人受苦是他的那个循环，他不只是在受苦受果报受恶报，他还往往在受恶报的时候，因为那种报复心理啦、好强好胜心理啦，让他继续的再造，继续重复他错误的模式，他就一直在造恶业。但是如果他忏悔，他说不，这是错的，我不要再犯这个，我不要再重复这个模式，那么呢很多时候呢受苦只是受一下子的苦，但是呢只要我们不要在苦中造苦因，其实呢我们很多时候我们的苦并没有那么可怕，忍一忍一个考验就过去了，忍一忍一个苦就过去了。但是如果我们不认错，不勇敢地改变自己的那个生命的模式，那么呢我们就会错中造苦，造错的因，苦中造错因，造苦因，那就错个没完。所以我们可以看到很多人，他即使是犯了一个错两个错，就是说生命就这样子堕落，他不懂得停损，停止那个损害。人如果一个懂得忏悔的人，他很快就知道错在哪里，然后下个决心我不要再犯这个错，可以从自己的错误中快速的学习和走出来的人，是懂得忏悔的。他其实很多人就会发现到，其实他的恶业也没有真的那么可怕，也不一定要受那么多的苦。所以让我们真正懂得忏悔，懂得让我们的生命因为忏悔和认错，勇敢的认错，而能够快速的走向更高的提升。
Okay, that's the video part, the short video. How many of you don't know Mandarin? Wow, everybody know Mandarin. Huh? So no need to explain. Very good. Because this is a short recording of the part on repentance. 忏悔 is repentant or asking for forgiveness. So, Sister Christina wants me to listen to it, then help explain, and make clear. So, What he has explained is quite good, actually, not bad. But it's focused mainly on his understanding based on what he has learned from the Mahayana practices and tradition. So what he has mentioned, that part is very good. When you ask for repentance or ask for forgiveness, and when you develop this repentance, you must have the understanding that what you have done is wrong action that lead to karmic negativity. So the path leading to karmic negativity, or those things connecting to the right view with regards to the law of karma that the Buddha teach, he didn't mention. So because he didn't mention, so you have to develop that understanding on your own. So to him is when you repent, you don't make the mistake of holding on to your whatever action, speech or thought process that you have done wrongly, then develop the remorse, the unhappiness, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow and the lamentation. And that is what the mental hindrance is all about, the fourth mental hindrance, Uttaka Kukucha. So he only mentioned the word Kukucha. So this one, you have to develop the understanding. This is the one, restlessness of mind. Uttaka Kukucha. So the first word, Uttaka. Udacha. Then the second word is Kukucha. So these two words, you combine them. There's a double C there. So this one is restlessness of mind. Udaka. Restlessness of mind. Then this one is remorse. Leading to worry. To fear, worry and anxiety. And anxiety, etc. So this is a mental hindrance, a fourth mental hindrance, restlessness of mind, due to your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, your attachment, your craving, your clinging, your unhappiness, your inability to understand all this. Then he also mentioned, what is the meaning of repentance? Why do you ask for forgiveness and do the repentance? Will it help you to overcome your karma? What do you think? Will it help you to clear your karma? What do you think? It won't. But it has an effect, a very positive effect. Because the mind that has this right view, after you have straightened your view, is a meritorious action. Because according to the Buddha, when he expounded the teaching, he started off by teaching the three right views with regards to the spiritual law that governs life and existence. So nobody for power start with right view or right understanding. He said you must have this right view or this right understanding regarding the five universal order that governs life and existence. Especially the last three, which are the spiritual laws. The first two are scientific law, Uttu Niyama and Bija Niyama. the scientific law are physical law of nature, followed by biological order of nature. Then the spiritual law, they got three. The first one, most powerful, is law of karma. In Pali, the Buddha called it karma niyama. Then the second one is law of mind, how your mind functions. When you know how you function as a human being, means you know how your mind arises and passes away and conditions you into all those mind states. Yeah. Even your suffering, there is a cause behind, the Buddha said. When you confront the realities of life and existence, you don't have wisdom and understanding. Suffering will be the result because of your delusion or ignorance. Self-delusion will condition you to believe that there is a personality within, that you are real, you exist. And because you think you are real, you exist, you have this personality view. You cling on to that atta. And the atta will condition you to have greed, hatred, and delusion. That's how your selfishness, your envy, your jealousy, your hatred, your emotional negativity, and your fear, worry, anxiety all come about because of self-delusion, ignorance. That conditions you to have this wrong belief, and from there you act, where you think you exist. This one will become selfish. You want to own things and have things. That's how the evil roots of greed manifest. And through greed, you become selfish, you become possessive. You want to own things, you want to have things. That's why you will have a lot of craving, attachment, clinging, grasping. Also, your desire, your lust, your possessiveness, all this come from this evil root of greed. Then the second evil root is, you think you exist. You want things your way. When you cannot get what you want, you get angry, you get emotional, you get unhappy. Then when you are in the state of control, or when you have power, authority, then you become authoritative. That's how you have anger, hatred, violence. Then you try to impose a lot of things on people, make life difficult for people. And when you take charge through this personality of anger, hatred, you become very aggressive, possessive. And you have a lot of emotional negativity. That's why you speak harshly, you get angry, you become emotional. Then when you don't understand what is going on, there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety. When you are being threatened, when things don't go your way. So this is delusion. So delusion leads to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, and all things. Suffering comes from ignorance and delusion. So when you understand through the law of karma, then you will understand that this nature's law, which is the law of karma, it has certain built-in nature's law to govern life and existence. Like the Buddha mentioned, every day is that you have to reflect the five daily contemplation, the last one. He said, irrespective of who you are, you can be an ordinary human being or very powerful human being, or even devas, Brahma, or even the hell beings, non-humans, animals and all things. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So we share the same destiny. That's why this is a number truth, means it not only apply to you, it apply to all living beings. Not only you are subject to it, this reality of life and existence, the eight conditions, the eight reality, they are applicable to all. As long as you live long enough, you will confront them, the Buddha said. So when you confront them without wisdom and understanding, suffering will arise. And this is what the Noble Truth of Suffering is all about. The Buddha said, suffering is everywhere in the midst of life and existence, the prevalence of suffering. Because as you confront all this reality of life and existence, you don't have wisdom and understanding, born of the Buddha Dhamma, you will be afflicted, you will suffer, you will become miserable. Yeah. So because of that, you have to develop the clear understanding that this is a nature's law you cannot violate. Mm. So this constant reflection and contemplation is very important. If I know that this is a nature's law that governs all of my life and existence, if I'm born of it, air to it, conditioned and supported by it, and I am what I am because of it, every moment, every instant, then what must I do? Because my entire life is depend on karma. So I need to, what must you do? You have to take good care of karma. That's how the teaching come about. And how to take good care of karma? You have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind, which is meditation, which is basically the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. You cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. You are incapable of evil. Then when you have right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, you are cultivating goodness, wholesomeness. Then when you have right effort, you are purifying your thought process, the four right effort. Then after that, you have right samadhi and sati. This is the meditative aspect of the Noble Eightfold Path. That is how you purify your mind, straighten your view, and develop wisdom, having more and more right view. And basically, the advice of the Buddha is the Noble Eightfold Path. So from there, you develop the understanding. Then you ask yourself the next question. In the teaching, what else did the Buddha teach? Apart from this, the first advice, avoid all evil. How can I avoid evil? How can you avoid evil? Yeah? How can you avoid evil? You must understand what? What constitutes evil? That's why the Buddha say, the three evil roots that make you evil constitute evil. And what are they? I already explained many times. They are your greed. And the topic is very wide. Your anger, your hatred, and your self-delusion. So, greed, hatred, and self-delusion, these are the three major evil roots, root of all evil. When you have them in your heart, you become an evil person. That's why your karma fall, your karma will fall, and you will be afflicted. Because the law of karma is very clear, the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. You plant the seed of evil that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, suffering will follow you, like Dhammapada verse 1. Where he starts his teaching very beautifully, he said, your mind is very important. Our mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything arises. So we choose to take care of mind. If you take care of mind, you train your mind, develop heedfulness. Then you can act, speak, and think with a heedful mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Because you can be mindful of the evil roots. Then you arise the right effort to abandon them. And the second right effort is to prevent them from arising. Then you cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, virtue, according to Noble Eightfold Path. then the final right effort is to refine upon and perfect all this virtue. So this is how the cultivation gets started. That's how you progress along the path of Dhamma. So when you train your mind to be ever mindful, constantly meditative, that is heedfulness. And with heedfulness, you are destined for enlightenment. As a heedfulness is very important. Understanding this based on right view in regards to law of karma is very important. Then you will try to avoid Dhammapada verse 1. If you don't train your mind to develop heedfulness, then you will act, speak and think with a heedless mind. Means you couldn't be bothered, couldn't be concerned with anything. You don't believe the law of karma, you just do what you like. So such a person becomes heedless. And you were to act, speak and think with a heedless mind, with all the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hoof of the blockade. But if you do the opposite, complementary verse, Dhammapada verse 2, when you train your mind, develop the mindfulness and the heedfulness to act, speak and think with a wholesome mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, then happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. So the Buddha's advice is very clear. Your life, you decide how you want to live. You choose to be heedless, then don't train your mind. Do what you like and see what happens to your life. Yeah. Suffering will follow you. You will become miserable. You will become afflicted all the time. Yeah. But if you understand this teaching, sees the importance of all this, then you have to determine to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. And to start off, the Buddha said, you have to know what constitutes evil. That's how the precept comes about. You analyze the precept. Each and every of these five precepts, if you were to violate them, it will lead to downfall because the evil roots are there. Only people with the evil root of greed, hatred and delusion break the precept. And these are all major precepts. So, taking refuge, renewing your precept are very important practices. Taking refuge means you must understand what these refuge are, Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. Why the Buddha say you must take refuge in these three? And you have to understand what they are. Otherwise you take refuge without knowing what you are doing. Then when you chant the renewal of precept, you must understand what this precept means. Why you have to keep them? Not just because the Buddha says so. Then you won't learn. Because you knew it's evil. It leads to downfall, karmic negativity. And you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. If that is the case, your life, you have to decide how you want to live it. So if you want to take care of your life, you have to take care of karma. That's why whenever you are mindful, when you see that what you have been doing in the past is all negative action, evil action, leading to downfall, means you got a lot of karmic negativity or karmic obstruction. They become obstruction. They obstruct your progress in life. These are the fruition that you have to reap because you reap what you sow. So the only way to be free of all this is you have to understand the past is already gone. There is nothing you can do to change it. Future is something yet to come. You also cannot benefit from it because it's not a reality. So this moment, every moment from now onward, are your chance to do something about your life. If you can moment to moment from now onward, develop the understanding to cultivate accordingly, then you will progress, then you can bring forth the condition for change. Yeah. If you want to change your life destiny, you have to have this understanding. That's why in the Mahayana teaching, they went one step beyond. Even in the Theravada teaching, it is also stated, mentioned, why you have to ask for forgiveness. Because major offense, like coming offense that you do out to the triple jam, they are very severe. That's why in the Theravada tradition, they teach you to ask for forgiveness from triple jam, because these are the most important. But in the Mahayana tradition, they extend to all karmic negativity. Whatever karmic that you have done wrong out to others, whether through action, speech or thought process, whether it's an animal or ordinary being, or a very, very wise being or enlightened being, you need to ask for forgiveness. You need to seek repentance. So asking for forgiveness is the first step. Knowing that this is wrong, then you make a vow. You make a vow to ask for forgiveness, to seek repentance. And when you do that, you have to do it with understanding and sincerely. Sincerely means you can have the sincerity to actually touch heaven, understand? In Cantonese, the word is gam tong. Mandarin is what? Gan tong, is it? Tian ye, gan tong. When you really sincerely invoke the repentance and seek forgiveness sincerely, people can feel you, nature can feel you. And when you are so sincere, then you determine not to repeat all this, when you know these are wrong. Then you seek their forgiveness. Then you make aspiration for causes and conditions for you to overcome all this karmic offense, karmic negativity, karmic obstruction. Then you determine to share merits with all these beings. Then you, with humility, you seek this. May this sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all, so that there will be causes and conditions for all this karmic negativity to be resolved amicably. If you invoke power of merit through understanding, like what I teach you under the Bodhisattva way, then the nature's law will move. Then repentance has its effect. Then it won't lead to remorse. It is an understanding, knowing that I have done wrong. That's why I seek repentance sincerely. Then I vow not to repeat all this. Then later on you make special aspiration to have this understanding life after life when you come. Whether you choose to come or you have to come. And this is how you cultivate. Otherwise you cannot break away from karmic negativity. Because the moment the sasana is gone, when you take rebirth, when you come again, I tell you, you will get lost again. Then you repeat the whole cycle. Then you commit karmic negativity, you fall again. Then you have to hope for the next sasana. Then you have the condition again, because you have cultivated some form of wholesomeness during the sasana. But then every time you come, sasana you build up. Then after sasana gone, you went down again. You won't progress. That's why you must have all this right understanding, right view, and you determine through your vow, through your aspiration, to have this understanding life after life, whether got sasana or no sasana. Whenever you arise, you must have this understanding. That's how Bodhisattva cultivate. That's how they can progress. That's how Bodhisattva can develop the cultivation all the way. They will never fall again. Then when they hit the 8th ground, Bodhisattva cultivation, they will never, never regress anymore. They won't fall. Yeah. their nature become different. Or you talk about the Bodhi mind development, the five stages of Bodhi mind development. When you hit the fourth stage, you will reach that point of no regression. So all this become possible. So repentance is to be done with sincerity, with faith, with understanding. Then you determine strongly, powerfully. Somebody came. Oh, Ingvi is here. Yeah, come in, Ingvi, come. Yeah, come, yeah. Yes, Sadhu. So this repentant teaching is very important, very powerful, very useful. So everything is in the blue book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. You have to read through it slowly, then go through it, develop the understanding of it. Then the meaning become clear. For anybody who just came in, maybe you have to listen to the recording again. Because it's on a video shared by Christina earlier on. He sent to me, then I on it for them to listen. It's talking about Chan Hui, repentance. Their understanding of here also. Like I say, if you just ask for forgiveness, then it will not change your karma, understand? Karma will still be there. Because like I said, the past already gone. Nothing much you can do to change it. Then future yet to come, not a reality. But this moment, every moment from now onward, that is your opportunity, your conditioning. When you understand that moment to moment life passes on, what are you doing? If you can start developing the understanding and the cultivation from moment to moment, then you can bring about tremendous change to your life destiny. Then you can improve your life. You can perfect your perfection of virtue, leading to perfection of wisdom. Then the realization of Sama, Sam, Buddhahood, and all those things. So that is how cultivate, especially Bodhisattvas. Then regarding karma, I already taught you just now. Not only you ask for forgiveness and repentance, because you develop the clear understanding that this is evil. This will cause karmic negativity, lead to downfall. It has a lot of karmic friction, karmic negativity leading to karmic obstruction. So you need to understand that this is something very, very negative, very evil. That's why you need to seek repentance, seek forgiveness sincerely to an understanding. Then you seek their kind approval, means may my this sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all. Then may this wholesomeness be shared by all. Then may there all this being, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that is karmic nature of mind, have caused any karmic negativity, suffering, misery, sorrow, lamentation, or misled, and etc. May they all too be well, happy, and peaceful in whatever realm or existence they may be. Then may they also have the causes and conditions to realize the Buddha Dhamma, so that they too can resolve their karmic negativity amicably. So that they can gain back their life, so that they can have this new understanding to be a blessing to all. So when you invoke power of merit for all this, for your karmic negativity or karmic obstruction to be overcome or to be resolved amicably, then this nature's law will take effect. Then it can do something to your karma. That's why the Mahayana may not understand that aspect. They thought by doing that, it will make their heart more at peace, so that you will not develop the remorse, the fear, the whatever emotion, negative emotion against the coming thing that you have done. But a lot of people develop this fear before they die. We have that thought come back and haunt them, that they have cheated somebody or make somebody miserable or cause karmic negativity to society or to people. Already. Then the karmic friction will come in the form of dream or come in the form of thought process to haunt them, especially before they die. Because the subconscious, the unconscious release, it will come and haunt them and cause them a lot of suffering, misery. That out of fear, out of delusion, they suffer intensely at the mind level. So if you don't understand what repentance is all about, how to ask for forgiveness, how to seek forgiveness, so that you can make that affirmation, that aspiration, not to repeat all this, and invoke power of memory for causes and conditions, for all this to be resolved amicably, for all your karmic obstruction to be dissolved. Without doing all this, karma will still be there. Yeah. Then the other thing that you will learn as you cultivate is, there is one way to overcome karma. Yeah. And the only way to overcome karma is through wisdom, understanding. No other way. Yeah. In fact, if you don't know how to invoke power of merits through the nature's law, there is no other way for you to overcome it. The only way left is wisdom. That's why without wisdom you suffer. When there is wisdom, you will not be afflicted. And karma is such, when you have the wisdom, I realize, my nature realize, it will reverse itself straight away. Because it has got no more power over you. It cannot deceive you, delude you, and haunt you anymore. Then when it loses its power, it will just reverse. Everything will just reverse. Then you realize it has got no power over the form and mind. When the form and mind, the wisdom connected, cannot be afflicted, cannot be affected, cannot be deluded or deceived by it anymore. And this is how karma loses its power. And I have shared this in the Bodhisattva Way book also. Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way is written there. And that book you should read, where I share a lot of my experiences, what I went through from my past, and how this life, this form of mind, this nature with this form of mind, how it come, and how all this condition unfold, and how even in the young days, before I even encounter the Buddha Dhamma or cultivate or understand any of this, glimpses of what I have cultivated before keep on coming back to me. And my nature can understand things very fast. So all this, without the shared experience of these great beings, cultivator who has gone through this path before, without their sharing and their understanding being shared by them to all, as a ordinary form of mind, Buddhajana, is not easy. Even as a cultivator, if you are just within the beginning stage, even some Bodhisattva, the early cultivation, before you reach the 8th ground or 7th ground, you still have to develop a lot of understanding from fellow cultivator who has gone this way before, and make great affinity with all these great beings, otherwise you cannot understand. So now you understand the difference between what is being shared in the video just now and the actual understanding of the cultivation. The one that is explained by the Mahayana monk, I think he's a monk if I'm not wrong. Yes. He's a monk from Sarawak. Bhante what? Mangala. Yeah. But he speak Mandarin or no? Yes. Oh, he speak Mandarin. But he... Oh, that lineage from Burma, huh? Oh, is it? Which means they also have some form of Mahayana understanding practices. Otherwise, they cannot understand repentant Chanhui. But this is a very powerful teaching. But like I said, he didn't explain how it come about through right view and other things, and how it's connected and linked to the other teaching. So when there is condition, you should ask, so that at least all this can be clarified and explained. Okay, so any more question or reporting of meditation? Otherwise, I will share this, what they call the five aggregate of form and mind, which Brother Tiu did a very creative and artistic chart. You see the color one. Do you still have extra copy? No more already. All given out already.
It's on the website. You can download now.
No. You send it to the WhatsApp so that everybody can see. Forward it to the WhatsApp. My Kayamita. So that I can share now. Just forward it to our WhatsApp. Okay. If you have your phone, you can on it, because Brother Tiu here got Wi-Fi. If you need data, you ask Brother Tiu. He can let you share the Wi-Fi. Okay, I will just proceed with the sharing. Then you try to get... text already. Good. So those who have handphone, you should get your copy. This is a very, very nicely prepared chart, and it's very creative. Understanding the five aggregate of form and mind. You look at the left-hand side of the chart, the top part. External phenomenal or external form with their causes and condition. So here he draw a man, then of course they got their colleague or their subordinate or staff. There's a lady there now. Then there are other human beings. So this depict the human race within the career field or whatever. Then you have nature down here, the plants, the animals and other things. Then you have the sense data in the form of vibration, waves. Then many of these phenomena that happen, like the wave in the ocean, these are bigger waves. Then you have all this very sharp pitch of vibration. Then this one, I don't know what is it, the second one. Is it the TV wave or what? Then the last one is like in a lake, water, not so turbulent. Radio wave and all those other waves. Then there is a question mark. Who am I? What am I? That's how the teaching come about. The Buddha want you to understand, who are you? What are you? Basically, we are just a human being. This segmented line, we come as a human being. So as a human being, what do you have? You have a physical body, isn't it? Then within your physical body, what do you have? You have your senses. Your eye, your nose, your ear, your tongue, your tactile. Tactile, he just put a hand. It's more than that. Your whole body is tactile. Your whole body is tactile. Then you have your consciousness, which is your thought process. That's why he draw the brain there. So these are your senses, the six sendal. Then the Buddha said, basically, the whole of this human being or living being, They are just a combination of a physical form, a physical body, and a mind. Then the mind, they subdivide into four more aggregates. That's how he classified the human being into the five aggregates of form and mind. So down here, the blue rectangle, you see the first aspect as a human being. So as a human being, you have a physical form. Then you have a consciousness trapped inside, which is your mind. And this is usually termed as the mundane mind, the consciousness and its content. So the four aggregates of mind plus the physical body become the first aspect of the five aggregates. Yeah. Then after that, you have the second aspect of the five aggregates. The second aspect of the five aggregates, you have to look on the chart up there. Yeah? The chart up there show the four aggregates of mind as feeling, perception, activity of mind or sankhara in consciousness. And these are the aggregates of mind. To understand this, you just have to develop the inquiry. What can my mind do? Then all this will come up. Your mind can feel hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant sensation. Then your mind can perceive things. You can perceive what you see or perceive what you hear, like my voice. Then perceive what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So the power of perception is also part of mind. So this is the second aggregate of mind. In Pali, it's called Sanya. Then after that, there is this third aggregate, which the Buddha calls Sankara. Sankara is mental activity, mental state, everything that your mind can do, including feeling and perception. So usually under the Abhidhamma, they classify Sankara as 52 mind states. If you exclude feeling and perception, it's 50. You add in the two, you become 52. So these three, feeling, perception, and sankhara, they can be classified as the content of consciousness. And the Buddha usually call them all sankhara. Where feeling and perception is part of sankhara. That's how the teaching goes. That's the reason why the Buddha, every time when he chants sabbe sankhara anicchang, he just use one word, the content of consciousness. And sabbe sankhara dukkang. All of sankhara is impermanent. All of sankhara lead to suffering if you grasp it and cling onto it deludedly, give meaning to it. Then sabbe dhamma anatta means not only sankhara, both the condition and the unconditioned is all anatta, non-self, not you. Even that true mind, the true nature, the Buddha nature is not a being, it's not you. So this aspect is very important. Then he drew it very well. He said, the perception brings in the mental form. The mental form, which is the mental rupa, all of the external form that you see through consciousness from the external world, like the Buddha image, my voice, and whatever you can perceive. The moment you perceive them, you bring that form into the mind. So the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind is the four aggregate of mind plus the mental form. That is the second aspect. And that's how, through delusion, he put here the existence of the I and the me, the self, the personality. If you deludedly believe this human being is you, this segmented life human being is you, then you have Sakkayaditti, self-delusion. And because of Sakkayaditti, you grasp, you cling, you hold. You have craving, you have desire, you have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion because of that self-delusion personality. Then it leads to suffering. Then this wheel of ignorance that he put in between is very good. Because the ignorance is still there. If you want to become enlightened and awakened, this wheel of ignorance must drop off. So far, I only heard one monk mention about this, Ajahn Buddhadasa. when I went to Samok, the Garden of Liberation at Suratthani, his way place. He has a statue with the wheel there. He always in the sharing in the talk. He said, when you become enlightened, it's just like this wheel of ignorance just drop all of that. At first, people cannot understand what he say. Then later on, when I went there, I saw that I was full of joy. Then I rejoiced because I knew what he meant. Because when your mundane mind collapses, it's just like this layer of consciousness, which is the wheel of ignorance, that thing just drop off. Really drop off. The whole thing drop off. Of course, you cannot see anything drop off. Because this is word analogy. But what happened is, the mundane mind, through the consciousness, through the brain, there is something happening in your brain. It starts happening. Then over a few months, finally, it will like here, there is something very sharp, the forehead here. There is a movement there. Movement. I remember there is a movement. Over about 1.5 inch like that. Then finally, one day, the thing like, oh God, no sound, it drop off. Then, the whole nature becomes so different now. Then this whole layer of mundane mind, the thinking mind, like no more. No. It's not like no more, really no more. Gone. Then I was so amazed. No. That's why I told my wife, for the next 5 days, no, I just sat down there so amazed. No. What has happened? That nature from inside, that awareness, just shine for all. No. And throughout the day, this nature is just aware. Aware some more, never mind. It's like inside there, no mind at all now. Then the funny thing is, this nature understands, if no mind, then how can I function? How can I exist? There must be a mind. I can still know things. But now, I don't see like normal human being. But now, it's all direct seeing, automatic. No need to do anything. But that nature shine for. Fully aware. That's why I told you, all of nature, the phenomena, the characteristic of nature, the impermanent, the suffering state, the answer, they are everywhere in the midst of life and existence. That's the reason why I can share with you. For those who see, they always see. Truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? The characteristics of nature are everywhere in the midst of life and existence. Every moment, every instant, why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Yeah, when that thing shines forth, it's so amazing. Then later on, I have to learn how to use this supramundane mind, the completely different type of mind that arises. And that one is so fine, so subtle, like no mind, completely no mind. But no mind, then how can you know things? There must be a mind, but without form, without image, nothing inside there. Just pure awareness like that. And that one is so, what you call, so subtle and like very smooth inside there, like no resistance one, nothing one, no movement at all. Like no more activity, no more sankhara, no more all those major movement. Don't have already, the mundane mind is gone. So this veil of ignorance is very good. It's very good. Then the three supporting conditions that support this five aggregate of form and mind and eliminate it into a human being. So this human being is the segmented life that you come. It is also the karmically conditioned form and mind. Through karma, it conditions this five aggregate of form and mind to come to this world of existence. And this one is not you, because this one is condition arising, dependent, originating. And what are the three conditions that is responsible for its arising? You read the second blue rectangle. Three supporting conditions. You must have a physical body. You must have this rebirth consciousness that goes in. Then through the conditioning as the baby grew, you start to learn things. You start to accumulate through your brain, then your consciousness starts to become more and more sophisticated, more and more complicated. Then the conditioning, the views, the opinion, the learning, everything, then your whatever accumulated memory, good and bad. So this is your bundle of memory with its views and conditioning, with its all the fear, worry, anxiety, scars of memory, insecurity, and all these things which you accumulate, even your phobia, childhood or when you grew up. All this, they get accumulated, and this become your consciousness. And this consciousness is the human psyche, the human consciousness. Then what you need, the third one is the karmic force, or what I call the life force. The life force that pump your heart, that trigger of the heartbeat. And this is what karmic force is all about. Without that karmic force, there is no life. So without karmic force, there is no life force. No life force, there is no heartbeat, no life. That's why these three conditions, any of these not working, is gone. The form and mind, you say die. It's not die. The consciousness has to separate because the physical body cannot take the consciousness anymore. Like your spinal cord dead, or your brain damaged, vital organ damaged. So physical body cannot allow the consciousness to stay inside because it is no longer functioning. Then this life force cannot come and pump because it doesn't work anymore. Then sometimes because of karmic force, they call it the destructive karma. The time has come for the karmic force to shut off. So the destructive karma come, the karmic force or the life force cut off. Your heartbeat stop. You try to revive through the whatever medical science. Sometimes you're lucky the conscience come back, but not very likely. Once the karmic force shut off, you won't come back. Those that come back on is where this conscience went out. Then when there is condition, it will come back. Then it's like the candle. Candle, you got the wick, the wax, and the light. The light is like the consciousness. When you give it the energy, it gets lighted up. So the whole candle functions as a candle. It's like the bulaka, when all the condition comes together, the parts come together, perform a function, you give it a name and a concept. So this candle is also the same. So the length of the candle may indirectly define how long this candle will last. But sometimes it may not last the whole length, because if the manufacturing defect, just like karma, DNA defect, then the weak burn halfway, it can just get into problem. Then it will not continue to burn. Then, then the flame gone. The other way is, your wax is lousy. Once you light it on, it melt very fast. So it doesn't last also. Then sometimes you think you got a long candle, you can live very long. Then the strong wind come. Like now happening in Hong Kong. Hakka or what? Hoka. What ka? That typhoon. Very severe. I saw in the video the whole human being blown off. And a lot of people get into trouble. It's very severe. And the wave is like mini tsunami coming out to the condo and other things. So these are the conditions that support the arising of the five aggregate of form and mind. And when you see it in your meditation, then you will understand that this is not you. This is dependent originating, condition arising. Like the Buddha, when he explained this Anatta Lakkhana Sutta to the monks after the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, which we are discussing in the Tuesday class, straight away all the five bhikkhu, the monk, become arahan. You should go back and read that one. Maybe by now you have the condition ready. You can become arahan very fast. Hey, really, I'm not joking. You are serious. You have developed the cultivation accordingly. It's not difficult. That's why he asked the bhikkhu, he said, what do you think? Is this physical body permanent? Then the bhikkhu said, no, impermanent. Then, is this physical body satisfactory? Unsatisfactory, it leads to suffering. Then, is this physical body you? Is there a soul inside, a permanent, unchanging soul? Is this really you? If it's you, then the Buddha asks, if it's you, it will not tend towards suffering. True or not? Yeah? If it's really you, then you can order it. Please, don't get old, don't get sick, and don't die. But it doesn't listen to you. Understand? It goes the way of nature. It's beyond your control. It's not you. That's why this one will go through old age, sickness, and death, which the Buddha taught us in the five daily contemplation, the first three. This physical body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. Then finally, he asked the bhikkhu, that which tends towards suffering and impermanent, is it right to say this is I, this is me, and all this can be mine? That's why the bhikkhu replied, no, sir, it cannot be. So when you have this clearly understood, you will understand why the five aggregate of form and mind is not you. Then straight away, you can trigger off the awakening. Then he repeat for the other aggregate. Is feeling self? If feeling is self, it will not tend towards suffering. Is feeling permanent? That's why they knew it's impermanent. But the other way is better, which I came to understand this life and I share, is if feeling is you, if feeling is real, if that pleasant feeling transform to become unpleasant feeling, then you should die with it, isn't it? And because you didn't die, which means feeling is not you. And what is feeling? Feeling is dependent, originating, condition arising. Because of our physical body, our senses, and our consciousness trapped inside, it can make contact. Upon contact, all this content of consciousness arise. In the meditation, you will see all this. Then you will start to understand, oh, no wonder feeling is not me. Because feeling arise and pass away, and this form of mind is still around. It never die. So how can feeling be me? That one is very powerful. Then the other question you have to ask is, if it's not you, then how did it arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? Feeling, perception, activity of mind and consciousness. You can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. All this arise and pass away very fast in the midst of life and existence. Because when you are engaged in real life, that's like daily mindfulness. Your senses are all fully engaged. And you don't have the stability of mindfulness. You cannot cope with life. Upon contact, so many things happen. The content of consciousness, your view, your opinion, your stirring, and your fear, your phobia, everything. They just arise. And simultaneously, they interact and act. That's why without the stability of mindfulness, the clarity of mind and the understanding, yoni somanasikara, at the moment of sense experience, you cannot cope. You cannot develop the understanding and you cannot live. So mindfulness is very important, leading to heedfulness. The stability of mind, ever mindful, to cultivate this noble evil power and to develop the wisdom and the awakening. So this five aggregate of form and mind, which Brother Teo has drawn, is very beautiful, very creative. Then further down, you got the three wheel. First turning, second turning, and third turning, leading to the three type of corresponding wisdom. Suttamaya Panya, Chindamaya Panya, and Bhavana Maya Panya. Then the three phases of Dhamma, Pariyati, Patipati, and Pativeda. And these are all very beautifully drawn. Then through the silent mind, you meditate. So meditation is using the silent mind. The moment you see, you understand, you awaken, you straighten your view. Then you reflect, contemplate, and inquire again to stabilize that understanding, then it will prepare you to receive truth later on. Then you will awaken. Then when you awaken through the direct seeing leading to realization, you will come to understand clearly. You will insight into phenomena to realize the three universal characteristics of nature, the three marks of existence, dukkha, anicchang, and anatta, or anicchang, dukkang, and anatta, means suffering, impermanent, and non-self. So the first thing you insight into is always impermanent. And the moment you insight into impermanent, suffering and empty nature or non-self become automatic. You will understand. Whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. That's why everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, the Buddha explained. When you meditate with the mindfulness, you will see it happening in the midst of life, everywhere, within and without. Everything is like that. All phenomena is like that. Then when you realize that they are all like that, then how can it be a permanent and changing entity? Because dependent on condition, it arises. Dependent on condition, it ceases. When condition arises, it arises. When condition ceases, it ceases. So how can this be a permanent and changing entity? How can it be you? And this follow the way of nature, goes the way of nature, following nature's law. If you want things your way, you will suffer. That's why attachment is suffering. Craving, clinging, grasping, wanting things your way, possessiveness is suffering. All this becomes automatic. You have to accord and flow through understanding the nature's law. And because it's not a permanent, unchanging entity, that's why it's anatta, non-self, empty, not real, not what you think. Exactly, 10:30, we finish. Okay, so I will end here. So you can rejoice if you want to. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So if you want a copy of this, you can look into your handphone now. If you have a printer, you can download and print. Otherwise, you borrow from Pamasuri or Brother Tim, go and photostat this sheet. Those who went for Tuesday class, they already have. Okay. So far clear. I think by now it should be more clear. If you want to understand more, you go and read the Heart Sutta. It's all explained before. Except this chart is so much better. That's why I told them in the Tuesday class, I will put this chart in the Heart Sutta as a addendum later on. We just photostat more and just slip it into the Heart Sutta book. I think it's chapter 1, isn't it? The 5 degree of 4 am I. We did it in chapter 1, isn't it? Chapter 1, I remember. Oh, then chapter 2. Oh, cannot be. Chapter 2 already, the Hui Neng Sutta already. The 6 Patria. Yeah, chapter 1 towards the end, I remember. The one is later. The first one don't have all those things. The first one just explain the 5 year form in mind. There's a diagrammatic which last time Miss Lee drawn, just one rectangle or oblongish thing. I forgot. But this one is very well represented. So thank you so much, Radio. You must have spent quite a bit of time. Good, because he really tried out. Then he has the understanding. That's why I was so happy with his presentation together with Pamasuri last Tuesday. A lot of people like it. And I like this chart the most. It's very creative and very clear. If you go through it, then you will understand what I'm trying to share with you. It's really beautiful. And I got a lot of joy because a lot of things that I share has been written down there. And he is very creative because maybe IT, technical background. So he was able to put them so nicely. And the flowchart is one sheet. Almost everything that I share is inside there. You understand. It's so beautiful. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. transfer merit, then after that you make your aspiration. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed, and we shall rejoice and share all these merits with all beings. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then now we shall dedicate all these merits to all beings, and we share it with the devas first. Akasata cha pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu lokasasana itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect to all the worthy ones. Then we end. Back to Suyan's place. I also won't be around the Madhika day. I will be back in my hometown, 30th. Then I come back on the 1st. Then Tuesday class is on. Tuesday class is on. I fly off Wednesday night. So Tuesday class is on. But Thursday class I'm not around, so we have to cancel it. Okay, yeah, you can have your food. Today, a lot of good food.
Hey, what? Yeah, it was.